This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're on the second half of the Mishnah, the third parak, tenth Mishnah. V'chol she'ein ruach habrios nochei menu, ein ruach hamokom nochei menu. Somebody that people are not happy with, the Rabbonim is not happy with them. And again, we have the same problem with what we have with the positive. Why is that a measure of who God's happy with? There are a lot of people that people are happy with that for the wrong reasons. And there's a lot of people that people are not happy with for good reasons. There's nothing wrong with the person. Just there's a reason why people don't like him for bad reasons. And why wouldn't God like him? So here again, we will mention a few different possibilities. The first grouping of commentaries is that the people don't like him for a reason that is a good reason why they don't like him, right? They're right in not liking him. One, the Bate Ovo says he is haughty. So people who don't like people who are haughty, right? God doesn't like them either, because the Rabbanu Shalom says, I and him can't live in the same place. Or he's a boastful person, goes around all the time boasting about himself. It's also something that turns people away. And the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't like a person like that, so says the Ateres Tzvi. The Magen Avo says another bad characteristic why people don't like people, because the person wants everything for himself and is never willing to yield that somebody else should benefit. Person like that, very selfish person. People don't like him. God doesn't like selfish people either. Okay. What's it called? Or the Yalkut Yehuda says he loves himself and doesn't love anybody else. People don't like people who are very self-centered. Or another possibility is he's stingy. He's a miser. And doesn't do good things for other people. Doesn't speak good about other people, so says the Medrash David. And therefore, a person like that, he's Mechal Shem Shamayim. He's the opposite of Yohavtas Hashem Elokecha. You should make other people love God. But if he's a person who's from, he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but his conduct with other people leaves a lot to be desired. So people say, I don't want to be like him. Why would I want to be a religious person if that's the way religious people are? So therefore, God doesn't like him either, because he is bringing shame to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because we're talking about a person that basically does mitzvahs or whatever, otherwise God doesn't like him because he's not from, because he's not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. You don't need this because people don't like him. So it's obviously talking about somebody who, if it wouldn't be for something negative between man and man, God would like him. And still God doesn't like him. So because he brings very much disgrace to Frumkeit, disgrace to Torah, as the Gemara says in Yuma. Another idea is that he's not an honest person. It is the way that he deals with people is not straight and honest. He goes to Davin and he learns and he's really a big tzaddik when it comes to having an esrog and lulav on Sukkos, but when he goes to his business, he's a cutthroat. So a person like that, people don't like, and God doesn't like him either. That the Tikkun Moshe says. I was thinking, that's why the Gemara says in one place in Sanhedrin that the first thing a person is judged on when he goes to the next world is Torah. How much Torah he learned, how he related to the Torah, and so on. On the other hand, the Gemara in Shabbos says that when a person comes to the next world, they ask him six questions. The first question is, Nosata v'nososa be'emuna, did you deal in your business dealings with faithfully? And the second question is, Kovata itin la Torah. Did you set aside times for learning Torah? Tosfos asks, there seems to be a contradiction here. In Sanhedrin, it says the first thing you're judged on is Torah learning. And here it says the first thing you're asked is, did you deal in business honestly? And only secondly are you asked about Torah. Tosfos says something cryptic. He says, you're asked first about your business dealings. And then you're asked about your Torah learning. And then you're judged first on your Torah learning. He doesn't explain why. Why would they ask you first about your business dealings if they're going to judge you first on the Torah? Ask first things first. But that's what he says. According to this, I think the answer is very simple. A person, we can't ascertain how much reward a person's going to get for learning Torah until we ascertain if he was a person who dealt honestly with people in his business dealings. Why? Because if he didn't, and he brings dishonor, so the more Torah he learned, the more dishonor he's bringing. If he would be just a nachschlepper, so okay, big deal. So he's not an honest person, but if he's a person who's supposed to represent God, and he learned a lot of Torah, and he still acts like this, then his Torah is even worse. Because people say, you see, people who learn a lot of Torah, this is the way they act. And if he didn't learn a lot of Torah, it would be less of a problem. So therefore, we can't know how to judge his Torah until we find out what kind of person he was in his business. Because it could be that he'll get punished for learning more Torah if his business dealings weren't okay. And if they were okay, he'll get even more reward for learning Torah, because not only did he learn Torah, he's a good example to other people. So therefore, we ask him first about his business dealings, and only then can we ask him about his Torah, and only then can we judge him on the Torah, okay, in light of how he was in business. Okay, and others say, the Ohel Yaakov, and Reb Shmuel Alter, both of them say a similar idea. People don't like him because he doesn't have good midos. He's not a good person. Or because he is not careful with mitzvahs between man and man. He's very careful with mitzvahs between man and God, but not mitzvahs between man and man. Another possibility. He is not derelict when it comes to his character, nor when it comes to his honesty, nor when it comes to how he does the mitzvahs that he has to do between man and man. But another reason why people don't like him. He's frum all along the across the board. But he gives other people mussar in a way that is very not nice. He's too hard on other people. You're supposed to rebuke people and reprove them. But the purpose is not to make them feel bad, but to prove to them that they're doing something wrong and that you're concerned about their welfare. If somebody's taking poison and you try to get him to stop, you're not hurting him. You wanted to do it to help him. And if you believe that a person's harming themselves by doing sin, and you want them to stop it, it comes across that you're doing it because you're concerned about them, then basically people may be annoyed, but they're not going to dislike you for it. But if you come across like I'm holier than you, right, and I'm trying to put you down and make you into nothing, right, so even though I'm a good person, but if that's the way I give mussar, people, they're not going to like me. And that's another reason why God doesn't like them either. God doesn't like people that rebuke and insult other people, even for good purposes. Not that there isn't a time to do that. It says that that in certain sins, if you've given the person rebuke privately, and he doesn't accept it, and he doesn't change, and he continues doing those sins, then there is a time sometimes to insult him publicly, to get him to stop. I think, I'm not 100% sure, is the Rambam here in this room? Yeah, probably Rambam, Chelek Aleph, probably on this side of the room. There's got to be one here somewhere. If there's not, there's not. I'm almost sure that it's in sins between man and man that this applies. You give the person mussar and they don't change and they don't accept it, then it could be that in order to save people from the result of his sins, you can even insult him publicly for it. But if that's not the first line of action. So somebody who constantly could be giving people rebuke in a very nice, sweet way, and he chooses to do it in an abrasive way, makes him the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not happy with him. And we find that great people fell into this trap and were punished for it. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to one opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished by Mei Meriva, not for hitting the rock, but because he called the Jewish people Morim. Shimuna Morim, listen, you rebels. So even though he meant it to give them Musar, but you don't label the Jewish people rebels. God said, who are you calling rebels? They're my chosen people. Right? They're the children of Avram Yisrael Yaakov. They're not rebels. Yet, if that is why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, then there's a big problem. Because later on, after he was punished, and he was told he can't go to Eretz Yisrael because of this, he did the same thing again, only worse. Later on, in his final address to the Jewish people, where he gives them a lot of mussar, he says the following, Mamrim Hayisim Hashem Miyom Daiti Hashem. You've been rebellious against God since I know you. And that's a little bit more than just calling them rebels. So the Medrashi HaTorah, who was a student of the Rashba, says there's a very big difference between saying that someone is rebellious and someone saying he's a rebel. Example, you have a child that steals. What happens? Little children steal. Take something from their parents' pockets, wallet, or whatever. Now, you can react to that one of two ways. You can say to the child, you're a ganav, right? And then you've labeled the child, and he knows my mother, father think I'm a ganav. What do ganavim do? They steal. It's not going to stop him from stealing. He's going to realize that that's what I am, so that's what I do. You tell him, you're a very nice little boy or girl, but you've done something very not nice. You've stolen, right? So you didn't label him as a ganav, but you let him know that what he did was not proper. That's the way to give mussar. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, you were rebellious against God from the time I know you, right, that's fine. That's mussar. You're a bunch of rebels? That nobody has a right to label the Jewish people as rebels. The same thing we find by Hosea. Hosea, God told him, that Jewish people have sinned. She said, you know what? Why don't you just exchange them for a different nation? They're really bad people. God said, what am I doing with this old man? Right? Doesn't know how to talk. So he told him, either prophetically in a vision, to marry a woman of ill repute. and have children with her. And then the Rabban Shem said, you know what, get rid of her. He said, I can't get rid of her. She's my wife. I have children from her. He said, you can't get rid of this woman of ill repute, and you expect me to get rid of the Jewish people? The same thing happened with Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu said, I'm a man with unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a nation of unclean lips. B'tzoch am t'nei svasayim, anochi Yosef. God said, you can say whatever you want about yourself, but don't tell me the Jewish people are a people with unclean lips. And because of that, later, when Menashe, killed him, he was not vulnerable anywhere except by his mouth. He was able to, through mentioning God's names, swallow himself into a tree to save himself from being killed. But where his lips were vulnerable, and that's how Menashe killed him. And lastly, Eliyahu Hanavi, Rabbi Weinberg from Ner Yisrael, said a very nice vort that will incorporate in what I want to say about Eliyahu. Eliyahu proves that God is true and the Baal is false on Har HaCarmel, when the fire comes down and consumes his. He goes home, and Izebel, the wicked queen of Ahav, sends her messenger, I'm going to kill you tomorrow for killing all the Nevi'ei HaBaal or whatever. And Eliyahu is distraught. He runs away. He runs into the desert. 40 days, he goes without food. He comes to Har Sinai, and the Rabban Shem says to him, what are you doing here? He said, I can't take it anymore. Jewish people have transgressed your covenant, and they've served idolatry, and I'm zealous for God's name. People are terrible people. So first of all, Rabbi Weinberg asks, Izebel's been trying to kill Eliyahu her whole life. Why all of a sudden now is it really, he's distraught? And secondly, if you want to kill somebody, you don't invite them to the murder, right? I'd like to kill you tomorrow. Could you be around or whatever? You try to surprise them. Why in the world would Izebel send a messenger to Eliyahu, I'm going to kill you tomorrow? Says Rabbi Weinberg, miracles make an impression, but they're very short-lived. Eliyahu felt, I've proven that God is true and the Baal is false, and now the Jewish people are going to be on a good path forever. Izebel said to him, you should know, today you're the hero. If I would want to touch you today, they'd tear me limb from limb. But by tomorrow, the effect will have worn off sufficiently that if I want to kill you, nobody will stop me. And Eliyahu knew she was right, that by tomorrow the effect would wear off and the Jewish people go back to where they were. So he couldn't take it anymore. So he goes to Har Sinai, and God says to him, what are you doing here? He says, Kano Kinesi, I'm very zealous for God's honor, and these people have abrogated your covenant, and they're idol worshippers, and I can't take it anymore. God shows him then a whole array of things, earthquakes and fires and storms, and God's presence is in any of them. And then there's a still small voice, and that's where God's presence is. Meaning, you want to make an impression on the people, it's not with thunder and lightning, and go back to them, speak to them nicely, and you'll have a good impression on them. That's where God's presence is. So Eliyahu, again, then God says to him after all this, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And he gives the same answer again, the same answer. I'm zealous for your name. God says you're not qualified to be the leader anymore. I'm taking you up here to the heavens, and you're going to have to make Elisha become the prophet in your place, and it's the end of your career. So the Medrash says that Eliyahu, right, you can't label the Jewish people that they abrogated the bris or whatever. He's labeling them that they're a terrible people that you don't do. You think they're doing things wrong, go back to them and speak to them. Don't be zealous over here. And God said to him, you were zealous back in the Midbar, because Pinchas and Eliyahu were the same person. So what's the difference? Because over there he did it amongst the people. He did it, it was clear he did it because he cared for them. Here he ran away from them, meaning that he's looking down upon them. He can't have anything to do with them. You can't label the Jewish people bad people. They can do bad things. If that's the case, then speak to them. Give them mussar. But if they're bad people and you can't have anything to do with them, you have to run away from them, then you're not fit to be the leader. And because of that, Eliyahu HaNavi was chosen to be God's representative of every bris. There's a kisa shel Eliyahu HaNavi has to come to every bris. Because he accused the Jewish people of abrogating the bris. The Rabban Shem said, you're going to come and testify that that's not true. That every Jew has a bris milah for their child. Even Jews who are far away from anything still keep bris milah. Okay. So that is the idea that somebody may be 100% frum. But if the way he gives mussar and rebuke to other people is in a way that is abrasive, that accuses them of being bad people or whatever, he's not liked by people. People don't accept that. They accept mussar from somebody they feel cares about them, but not somebody who totally thinks they're no good. And therefore, if people don't like him because of that reason, God doesn't like him either. Okay, that's one group of commentaries that explain that whoever people don't like, God doesn't like, is talking about a person who people don't like him for a good reason. Okay. Now we'll say something else. Even though there are people who like him, right, or even praise him, but they don't really mean it. In other words, they're doing it for ulterior motives. They want something from him. They're afraid of him. Or the people who like him for the wrong reasons. It's people who themselves are not good people, and they like him because he's just like them. So people who don't like, people who are liked by those kind of people, but good people don't like him because he's not a good person, that's what we're talking about. Okay? Also, it says that it's just the opposite sometimes. Somebody who does things that are not good in the eyes of God. So you should know that people are hurt by him too. In America, there is a feeling, a philosophy of live and let live. You know, in other words, everybody can do what they want as long as they don't hurt anybody else. So there's a concept of consenting adults. If you want to act like an animal, and you do it in the privacy of your own home, pull the shades, and all the people involved, right, want to act like animals. So there's nothing wrong with acting like an animal, as long as you don't hurt anybody. That's absurd. For one, there's many reasons why. But one reason is that there's no such thing as not hurting anybody. Because, I'll give you an example, that a person could think, what's it, anybody else's business? And it is somebody else's business. There's an opinion, it's not everybody doesn't agree with this, but as a marshal it's good, that certain chemicals, fluorocarbons, if you spray them into the air, they have an effect on the ozone layer of the atmosphere, and the ozone layer protects the Earth from radiation, and if you break up the ozone layer, so radiation comes, and Rahman al-Islam, people get terrible diseases from being exposed to radiation. Okay, that's just for the sake of a marshal. Let's make this absurd. Imagine that if you would spray your deodorant with fluorocarbons and it releases the fluorocarbons into the air and they float and it pollute the air. So somewhere on the other side of the globe, it opens up a window and 10,000 Chinese get cancer from that radiation. Okay, that's what happens. Every spritz of the deodorant, another 10,000 Chinese. person can't say, you know, what's nobody's business, right? I'm in the privacy of my home. I'm spraying my deodorant on my underarm in my privacy of my home, right? What do people care? Yeah, they care, because what you're doing in the privacy of your home has a spillover effect on other people in a terrible way. The same thing goes for sins. A person sins, he pollutes the world spiritually. And because of that, the world becomes a less secure, safe place. People suffer from that. So there's no such thing that a person says, well, I can sin in the privacy of my home, and it's nobody's business, everybody's business. Because what you do affects other people. So what the saying is, kol sheruach habrius einocheimenu. Somebody who people are harmed for, God doesn't like them either, meaning that if a person does things that God doesn't like, people suffer from it also. Okay. Others say what it means is that if there's no good reason otherwise, if you see somebody is someone who people don't like, then there must be some reason why God doesn't like him either. And if you can attribute it to something that you can say, well, they don't like him for this and this reason, and they're not justified, then fine. But if all of a sudden people just don't like somebody, and there's no good reason why, then it's a siman that the Rabban Shem doesn't like him either. And when the Rabban Shem likes somebody, that person has a certain charm. So people like him. If the Rabban Shem doesn't like him, so he doesn't have that charm. So then Memela, people don't like him. Sometimes it means the following. If a person chooses to be in a place that God's not happy with him there, sometimes the Rabban Shem makes people not like him, so he has to leave that place. In other words, they bring a raya from an example from Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu went to live in Grar by the Plishtim. But God was not happy that he was there. It was a bad place to be. So he made the Plishtim dislike him, so get out of there. So sometimes if people don't like a person, it's because God isn't happy with where he is. Okay. So bottom line from all of this is that a person who either doesn't benefit other people or he's bad to other people and only cares about himself is the kind of person that the Rabban Shalom doesn't like.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.